I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here 2 hours a day from 9 to 11 o'clock. I'm excited about the show today. Next hour, we'll do what we always do on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 o'clock. We'll do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. And today I'm going to have a guest in studio. This is a local mom, and this is these are some of my favorite shows. We're going to talk a little bit about some food additives, in particular food dyes. Katie contacted me and said this was something that I might want to look into, something that she had some experience with behavioral issues with her children, and what she found with getting out of identifying and getting out some of these food dyes from her children's diet, and the dramatic difference it had on behavior and things like that when it comes to children. And it's interesting to me because, you know, we have parents, myself included, and probably anybody who's listening who's got kids, we would lay our lives down to protect our children. If someone were to come after our children with a knife, we would jump into the fray and willingly be killed in order to save our children. But at the same time, parents are every day, in fact, poisoning their children. I do not think that's an exaggeration. Now, most are not aware of that, and that's why we're going to do this show today. But what really kind of mystifies me, and maybe this will motivate you, I like to have essentially testimonials on the show, whether it's from the benefits of eating a better diet and losing weight, any of these kinds of things. I like to have testimonials, but what mystifies me is that a lot of parents are aware that the food I'm giving them, it's not great, but it can't be too bad for them. And they will actually choose to not take any action, really because it's just a hassle. This is a kind of a weird juxtaposition for me to see, because I doubt there are very many parents out there, if I didn't ask them, would you sacrifice your life? I mean, the ultimate sacrifice. They would lay down their lives for their children, but when it comes to making better choices for their children's diets, it really is a hassle because the kids might whine a little bit. We're doing a tremendous disservice to our children. We're experimenting on them, and we have been for decades, and we're seeing the results of it, and we're, instead of looking at these things, and I'm telling you, a lot of the things we're seeing, everything from the gender confusion, the aggression, the school shootings, these kinds of things, I believe a lot of this lays at the feet of the chemicals that we are putting into their brains. Now, Katie's going to come in. We're going to talk about food dyes in particular because these things are ubiquitous in the food supply. A lot of people, if your kids are eating any junk food, they're getting these food dyes. But I, of course, did some research to make sure I'm prepared for the show, and we're going to talk about some other things, too, that are in this food. And I'll say this as well. Children are just small adults. They have the same biological brains, the same biology as an adult. It's obviously more fragile as it's developing, but I will tell you that I believe there are behavioral issues with grown-ups as well, because we are being attacked by a chemical attack within our food supply and within our environment, but we're going to talk specifically about the food. So if you have a child or you have a child you love in your life somewhere that's having learning issues or behavioral issues, you need to tune in next hour because we're going to take a look at these things, and it's not that difficult to avoid. We'll find out from this mom, Katie, exactly what she has done I'm sure she's not perfect, just like I was never perfect with my children. But when you know what to look out for, you can eliminate it. And maybe spare your child a lifetime of misdiagnosis of ADHD or depression, an addiction to what is essentially crystal meth for children when it comes to the ADHD drugs. If you give your kid proper nutrition, you're setting them up for success. If you allow your children to eat a bunch of junk, don't be surprised if it affects them in negative ways. So next hour, I think this will be a fairly important show. I will put this on a rotation if I have to miss a Wednesday. This will be a repeatable show. Quotes of the day today. I loved this one. This was a meme. It's a mom and a son talking. The son says, "Mommy, where do politicians come from?" And mom says, "Well, sweetie, when a clown and a serial killer love each other very much." when it comes to guns, I ran across a couple of these this morning, and I thought it was fairly interesting. I'm a big fan of the Founding Fathers. A lot of people profess to be, but I still think that they were wise, and I don't think that politicians of today who go directly against the advice of the Founding Fathers are smarter than the Founding Fathers. A lot of people like to believe that. George Washington said, "A free people ought not only be armed and disciplined, but they should have sufficient arms and ammunition to maintain a status of independence from any who might attempt to abuse them, which would include their own government." George Washington knew the right to keep and bear arms was not about hunting, but a balance of power. That has been lost on a whole lot of people, and the left certainly would not understand such a thing. And this was very interesting. I really appreciate this take. This is Stefan Molyneux. And I would, if you're on the left, we'll talk about it in a second when he gets done, but he said this: "If you are for gun control, then you're not against guns, because the guns will be needed to disarm people. So it's not that you're anti-gun. You'll need the police's guns to take away other people's guns. So you're very pro-gun. You just believe that only the government, which of course is so reliable, honest, moral, and virtuous, only the government should be allowed to have guns. There's no such thing as gun control. There is only centralizing gun ownership in the hands of a small political elite and their minions." It's really quite interesting when you look at it through that lens and understand that he's dead on right. The left, those people who are attacking law-abiding gun owners in this country and calling for gun control, don't hate guns. They want the police and law enforcement, the IRS, the USDA, the FDA, and the Department of Education to have all the guns they could possibly want. They just don't want average people having guns. And this is the same group on the left that has been telling us most recently in the past 5 years how abusive police are towards their people. But for some reason, they want to only arm those people who they say are their abusers. It's really quite interesting. I encourage you to take this tact when you talk to a leftist about gun control. Point out to them that they must not really be against guns. They just want to make sure that only the police and the government that has been abusing them for decades are the ones that have the guns. That's really what they want. Very interesting take from Stefan Molyneux there. I tell you what, I'm going to take a quick break, then I'm going to come back. I'm not sure. You know, I hear callers to other shows here at the station. I'm not sure who's listening to this show. And I feel like I've got to... Somehow I've got to better hone my delivery. Maybe I need to learn, what's that NLP? Is that neuro-linguistic programming? This is some program. I think I've looked at it before, never really understood it, certainly never embraced it, but I'm sure it's used on us. It's basically a trick of speech patterns and hand gestures, all kinds of things to essentially hypnotize somebody into believing what you're saying. I would imagine there's a lot of practitioners out there, particularly in the political class, who understand this NLP. Maybe I need to embrace it, because it's very interesting when I hear people talking and I think, oh, they're calling in these other shows. You think they might have W, but could they possibly be listening to my show? Because they'll say something that is diametrically opposed to something that I pointed out many, many times. Because I attack the right from the right and the left from the left. And it's interesting. I mean, nothing about the left these days is traditionally liberal. And I believe a lot of the things that I see on the right are not actually based on the Constitution at this point. They are mostly just emotions. So I go after the left from the left. I go after the right from the right. And it's just very interesting. It doesn't really seem to land if some of the callers that I hear are indicative of the audience to this show. So anyway, I'm going to make some other points when we come back. There was just a headline about inflation. We're about to take a prison pounding. I believe we're actually about to see in Western countries, not just here, but really in Western nations that have our leadership. I use that term. I should have said it. Air quotes here in the studio. Leadership is attempting this essential coup of humanity when it comes to Green New Deal, massive governments, money printing, forcing us into accepting a dramatically lower standard of living. I believe we're going to see some Sri Lankan moments. If you remember a few weeks ago when the Sri Lankans had pretty much had it and they stormed the palace there and ran the president out of the country and enjoyed a dip in his pool. I think we're going to see a lot of those moments in Western countries as they try this final push towards real takeover. And inflation is already, it's one of the consequences of this, air quotes here in the studio, leadership, that on both sides of the aisle, this is one of those things where I say, I don't know why people can't understand what I am saying. The right continues to say Bidenflation, which just says, the translation of the term Bidenflation is, I don't understand what inflation is. Or, I'm just trying to impress my tribe. Using a completely useless term. But anyway, inflation, what it's doing to Americans right now, even though they try to, you know, I think the stock market's off a few points today, seems like the wheels are still on the bus. They're trying to convince us that we're not in any level of recession. But I think that the propaganda is failing and reality is coming crashing down on people here in this country. A really stunning headline that could mean big, big things for a lot of Americans, tens of millions of Americans. The trend is not our friend right now. I'm just wondering where that tipping point is for people when they finally say enough is enough. I'm anxiously awaiting it. I've been saying it for a while. I'll be right back. I've said many times I'd like to have a show on left-wing radio. I would like to attack the left from the left. It would be fantastic if the left understood inflation. Nobody really wants to understand it. They want to couch it through political lens, which just gives cover to the people who actually cause inflation. This happens on both sides. The left refuses to understand inflation. I've been trying to explain it since the day I came on air. Nobody really wanted to hear about it because it hadn't happened yet. And understand that inflation, the policies that drive inflation, the money printing, the excess spending, the Federal Reserve, it's like a coiled spring. You know, you can just crank it and crank it and crank it, and then finally just bang, it pops out, right? And that's what inflation really is. During the cranking stage, as the coil is being primed, nobody really pays any attention. Nothing's happened yet. Not exciting. See, nothing's happening. And then when it pops, everybody misdiagnoses the problem. And so the left will refuse to understand inflation because they want to believe that they can have endless daddy government provide for them without any downside. Now, anybody who has a functioning brain understands, you know, there is nothing in this world that is free. If they tell you they're going to give you free health care, that's a lie. Somebody's paying for it. If they tell you they're going to give you free college, more on that later. I think I've made a brilliant financial move. they're not giving you free college. I've said it since the day that this idea of forgiving student loans came around. I said, are the groundskeepers at universities going to stop getting paid? Are they going to work for free? Are the professors going to work for free? Or are the administrators going to work for free? Are the power companies going to provide energy to the colleges for free? Of course not. None of these things will happen. So there is no such thing as free college. It's just who and how it's paid for. So the left just cannot accept how inflation is created, because that would mean that it was a mistake to let daddy government grow up and give you all this, air quotes here in the studio, free stuff. You're paying for that free stuff right now. Inflation is a tax. It is the most nefarious tax, too, and this is why I wish I spoke to a left-wing audience to explain to you that inflation actually, you know, I'm a compassionate guy. I feel bad for poor people. This will make people mad. I'm one of the people that will give a couple of bucks to people on the side of the road if they look like they're really down on their luck. And they may be hucksters, but, you know, I kind of look at it like, you know, if somebody's having to stand on the side of the road, even if they just made bad choices, whatever. I don't know. I'm telling you, I've got a soft heart. Not all the time. Sometimes I sniff them out. But I'd like to see the poor doing better. I think most everybody would, particularly in a Christian nation. There's all kinds of charities and churches do great work for the disadvantaged people. The poor are getting prison pounded by inflation right now. It would be great if the left actually understood it. Now, the right also gets mad at me when I tell you that Donald Trump was part of that coiled spring. During the Trump administration, we ran huge trillion-dollar deficits, and in the last year of the Trump presidency, he signed a bill giving $300, an executive order, wasn't even a congressional action, an executive order giving 300 extra bucks to everybody per week for unemployment, and trillions of dollars in COVID relief, rather than firing Anthony Fauci, telling that there's no reason in the world to close the economy for this disease. Donald Trump printed up trillions and trillions of dollars. He got mad at Thomas Massie for even forcing a vote on it. He wanted $2.3 trillion just rubber stamped without a vote. The right doesn't like that. I guess when I say I'd like to show on the left, what I really mean is I'm not going to be popular anywhere. I'm going to say things that are going to make everybody angry. But it would be nice to be talking to a left-wing audience to try to get them to understand all of your promises of free from all of these politicians. You are paying the price for all the free stuff right now. And how's it affecting you? Check out this headline. As I said, I think we're on the cusp of some Sri Lanka moments across the Western world. Tsunami of shutoffs. 20 million U.S. homes are behind on power bills. At least 20 million households, or about 1 in 6 American homes, are behind on their power bills as soaring electricity prices spark what is said to be the worst ever crisis in late utility payments, according to Bloomberg. And it's got these charts. 20 million homes right now are behind on power bills. Electricity inflation is being propelled by soaring cost of fossil fuels such as natural gas, coal, and petroleum. And of course, if I was on a left-wing station, I would point out the disastrous energy policies of the Biden administration that are causing them to have high energy costs along with inflation. Biden's energy policies is really like the cherry on the top of the crap sandwich, the crap cake that is inflation. Like, takes it up just a little bit higher. The inflation was always going to be here. This is my point to the right, who likes to think this is Bidenflation. The inflation was always coming, but Joe Biden's energy policies, he takes it and bumps it up that extra 10 or 20% when it comes to energy prices. I don't know what the exact amount is. When I look at a chart here of U.S. Electricity Consumer Price Index, understand that back in 2000, and this is just an index. I don't know exactly what the numbers correspond to, but the index was at around, looks to be around 110 back in 2000. It's now at 250. So more than a doubling of electricity prices. Certainly that has exacerbated during the past year. But it went up during the Bush years, went up during the Obama years. Pretty flat during the Trump years. I will say this is, I do believe Donald Trump was certainly a net positive when it came to energy policy here in the United States. But it didn't go down. It was flat. And then Joe Biden comes into office and it starts to hockey stick up, the combination of inflation and horrific energy prices. 20 million houses right now at risk of having their power cut off. And so inflation is just an absolute killer to the poor. If only the left understood that this is the price for all the air quotes here in the studio, free stuff that you got. But the elites are not done with you. I'll tell you, I'll take a, and this is more evidence, I think, of just, I just feel this coming. We've got elites out there right now making these statements to the people out in public, and these let them eat cake statements. This next one, I'll take a quick break. I'll come back. This next one is from a German official. Germany's got some of the worst people running that country right now. And one of their top guys is making some statements on how the Germans need to make do. Understand that Germany has been drugged into. They were in a perfect situation to have Russia give them all the gas and natural gas for heating and everything they could possibly want. And Russia's just it's a few hundred miles away from Germany. I mean, it's really just a match made in natural resource heaven for the Russians to provide energy to Germany. Of course, the Americans stick their snout in there. This is very interesting to me. This is very interesting to me because this was during the Trump years, too. Donald Trump was very, very vocal about the idea of Germans should not be relying on the Russians for their energy. The American companies can provide them with all the natural gas they could possibly need. Well, now Germany needs natural gas, and where are the American companies that said that they could provide it all? America was saying, you don't need Russian natural gas. Well, now they don't have Russian natural gas, and they're suffering. See, this was all about cronyism here in the United States to try to cut Russia off from the world, providing energy to the world. It was just to give Western companies who contribute to politicians more wealth. And so they've stirred up these wars and acts of aggression and blamed everything on Russia and tried to cut Russia off. And the funny thing is, Russia's doing great. I talked about it the other day. They're forming this BRICS group. Oh, they're selling tons of their natural resources to China, to India. Saudi Arabia is even coming along for the ride. Russia's actually doing quite well right now, even with their energy stuff, as the West suffers a self-inflicted wound. And I'm just waiting for the Sri Lanka moments. When the light bulb goes off in people's heads, I'm not sure it ever will, trust me. If we have not figured out this stuff by now. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Got cut off at the end of last segment for the flash flooding warnings. I live in Jackson, and it's interesting. I was thinking about it this morning as I was driving through Standing Water. Obviously, the rain has been pretty relentless. And the old saying came to mind when it comes to Jackson, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. I don't know. I found it a little ironic that water is just falling out of the sky, but for some reason, Jackson can't get it to people to actually consume into their bodies. It's really a sad, sad state of affairs. But this is just more of, as I started to say, I don't know if I got cut off or not. If we haven't figured it out by now, I just don't have a whole lot of hope for us. But let me get into this story from Germany. As I say, we've got to be close. The Germans... I'll be watching the Germans. The Germans are really, they're being put through it. Again, it would be absolutely common sense. It would be a free exchange of goods and products for Russia to be providing Germany, which is not far away from Russia. If anybody's got a map, You want to take a look. Take a look at a globe and ask yourself, does it make more sense for Germany to get its natural gas from Russia or from the United States? Now, I'm all for the United States doing well and exporting products and bringing wealth to the United States. I'm all for that. But just on a common sense, geopolitical and just geographical line, makes pretty good sense. Russia's got a whole bunch of natural gas. Germany needs a whole lot of natural gas. They're pretty close. Seems to make sense. But somehow the West got in there and told Germany, that's a bad deal for y'all. And people in the United States cheer that kind of rhetoric. That's right. Don't. It's just, well, the Germans are paying the price right now. I think they're going to figure this out soon enough. A top Green Party official has caused controversy by suggesting Germans use washcloths instead of taking showers, as well as buying expensive eco-heating systems that are unaffordable to the average person. The comments were made by Baden-Württemberg's Prime Minister Winfried Kretschmann in response to the energy crisis, which will be exacerbated this winter as a result of gas shortages caused by the war in Ukraine. That's actually not true. They could still be getting all the natural... It's the sanctions. It's like COVID. The COVID pandemic didn't cause any of the economic disruptions. It's the reaction to the COVID pandemic that caused all the problems for all of these countries. Anyway, this is what he said. This green politician said, even the washcloth is a useful invention. Bragging about his own eco-credentials, Kretschmann boasted, quote, I have an electric car. I have a huge photovoltaic system on the roof. The pellet heating system Kretschmann uses in his home costs anything up to anywhere up to 21,000 euros and beyond, a figure completely unrealistic for Germans already struggling to pay their energy bills. And I believe the energy bills in Germany have gone up maybe fivefold, I believe was the last statistic I saw. That could be threefold or fivefold in a relatively short period of time. Germany could be facing blackouts and the collapse of the power grid this winter after citizens began panic buying electric heaters over fears gas supplies would be cut off. Supplies of firewood and heating stoves are also being exhausted, while cities across Germany are planning to use sports arenas and exhibition halls as warm-up spaces this winter to help freezing citizens who are unable to afford skyrocketing energy costs. Germans have also been told to take fewer showers, wear more layers of clothing, and avoid washing their clothes and driving their cars as often. So this, these are let them eat cake moments here. And I would imagine we're going to see things very similar to the French Revolution in Western country after Western country right here in the United States. I've just reported to you 20 million homes right now can't afford their electric bills. And these things are not caused by shortages of our ability to produce these things. It's by policies of people at the very top, whether it's this green ridiculousness, just regular regulation. They have done everything they can to increase the cost of natural resources that could be such a benefit to all of us. They certainly have improved our standard of living over the past 100 years, and now they are attempting to take the people backwards. So we're going to see if we start to have some of these Sri Lanka moments around the world. One funny thing, too, and it's a lot like, you know, a lot of people have rightfully pointed out, they were talking about this today on Clay's show, you know, the cost of these electric cars, the strip mining they do for the lithium, the horrific ecological impacts of the green movement. I think Derek called in and pointed out the birds that are getting slaughtered in the windmills. I mean, it's just a swing and a miss. It's basically, it's the energy equivalent of the COVID shot. It just makes everything worse. And in this story about the German guy, he uses this wood pellet thing. They were talking about the fact that some environmental group pointed out that the eco credentials that this German guy has, he uses these wood pellets. These wood pellets are actually come from the United States. I think from Western United States. So he has to get wood pellets from trees that are chopped down. I thought we weren't supposed to be doing that on the green side of things. They have to chop down trees in the West, create these pellets, and then shipped them from the western United States all the way around the planet to Germany so this guy can feel good about himself and his energy efficiency. They said that the forests that are cut down for these electric pellets take somewhere between 40 and 100 years to regrow. And this is what's considered eco-credentials for this guy sitting on top of the German system. It cannot be long. We're going to see some civil uprisings, I believe, with this cold winter coming up, particularly in Europe. They're going to have had enough. We'll be right back. No matter. So I may be a genius, very possibly a hypocrite. I'm always on guard. I'm always trying to look at my own life, what I talk about on this show, and see, is there any hypocrisy in what I'm saying? I think I'm one of the most consistent people you'll hear, because I don't need to twist my views based on another human being, in particular a politician or a party. I don't have to twist those things because I don't adhere to those things. So I'm always looking for hypocrisy. And this may be one area where I am a huge hypocrite. I really can't decide. I've talked about this issue before. Am I a genius? My son started college 3 years ago. And at the time, he had had good grades, got good standardized testing scores. That comes from me. He may get some good qualities from his mother as well, my ex-wife. But standardized testing, that comes from me. I could knock the cover off a standardized test. So he had good ACT, good grades, good kid. But he was still probably short about $3,000 a year to attend a full four-year college. Had it been significantly more than that, I would have sent him to community college for free for a couple of years, gotten him to keep his grades up, and then he would have gone to 2 years of four-year college to finish up his degree for free as well. It's a fantastic path. Holmes Community College is an advertiser on this station, and boy, if you are looking for a fiscally smart way to send your kids to school, that community college path is just absolutely fantastic. But he was about $3,000 short. That's tolerable. You can pay that as you go. But I said, you know what we're going to do instead? I'm going to have you take out some student loans. That way, when you get out of school, he's probably going to have somewhere between $12,000 and $14,000 of student loans. There's no way in the world I would have stood by and allowed my child to take on $100,000, $150,000 in student loans in undergraduate college. There was no way that was going to happen. But I felt like this was just something, we'll just kind of play the game. Let's just see how this plays out. And so he went out and got his student loans himself. These are not in my name in any way, shape, or form. Because I said, you know, we're just going to see what happens when it comes to the student loan forgiveness they're talking about. Well, here we are. My son is in his senior year this year, starting this week. And he's probably right now at about $9,000 in student loans. Sounds like that's just going to be washed away. Now, I think this makes me a genius because we could have just paid this as we went. Now, one of the only reasons, even if the student loans had been carrying interest while he was in school, I probably wouldn't have done it. Even though the interest rates were low, I might still have done it. But anyway, they carry no interest while you're accumulating the student loan. So this was essentially interest-free money, and with a hedge that the government would do something incredibly stupid before he graduated from college or shortly thereafter. And it looks like, if nothing else, you can always count on the government doing something incredibly stupid. And the stupidity I'm talking about is they say that Joe Biden is set to announce that for people making, I think I heard the number of $125,000 a year or less, they're going to forgive the first $10,000 of student loans. Now, I'm not for this. And matter of fact, it is inflationary. So it will this will exacerbate our current problems when it comes to inflation. But at the same time, I'm just saying, what is my responsibility here? Now, I have the choice now whether to take this program, let my son start with a clean slate, essentially. He may have a couple $1,000s left over. We'll just stroke a check and pay the rest of it. But if that first $10,000 goes, then that's a winner. So the hypocrisy comes. I don't want to rely on the government. I've just spent some time trying to explain to the left there is no such thing as free. The cost for this will come out in other ways, like inflation. This is an inflationary event for them to have I haven't seen the total figure on what this is going to be. And we know this is a bribe, too. But I'll say this again. I'm not sure what's more pathetic, the bribes that the left gives or the bribes that the right gives to voters. So if you look at it, the left bribes their people. They bribe people to get their votes by promising to give them money from somebody else. That's what this student loan forgiveness is. This is what social programs are. We're going to take money from people who have it, and we're going to give it to you. You're going to get somebody else's money. That's disgusting. It's theft, and it's why I say that taxation is theft. But I understand that. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, you bribe anybody. Essentially, you're giving them something that they didn't have before to sway their opinion or their actions on one thing or another. That's what a bribe is. And so it's disgusting on the left that they do that, that they will use the power of government to steal from people, take their stuff, and then give it to other people, to theoretically to Democrat voters. And Democrats will vote for this. They'll vote for theft. But I can't decide what's more pathetic. The right gets bribed with their own money. And this really kind of cracks me up. What the right gets bribed by are politicians that come out and say, that big federal government we've got there that steals your money every year, we're going to have them steal 3% less. Republicans want their tax cuts, and so you actually get bribed with your own money. Now, I think a lot of conservatives just assume that the government, they've been Stockholm syndromed for so long that they believe that the government is entitled to a giant chunk of your income. That's just now accepted on the right. It's a strange phenomenon. But I guess any program that has been in force for 70, 80 years, eventually older people who remembered there being no income tax are long gone now. And so all Republicans just assume that the government does take your money. That's just part of life. As I've said, I find nothing more pathetic than people who say I'm a law-abiding taxpayer. They may have just assumed that. But the right comes out and says, look, you know, you earned $100,000. Typically, the federal government's going to take $30,000 of that. We'll only take $27,000 of it, and we'll leave you with an extra $3,000, and that gets the right to vote for a politician. They bribe you with your own money. So I'm not sure which is worse. But I'm still struggling with what level of hypocrisy that is. Now, the way I originally thought this would be was that I would have to somehow go in and claim this, or have my son, I'm not on the student loan, I'd have him claim, and then I would be this hypocrite who says, you know, I want the government out of our lives, I don't want anything from the government, and I don't want the government taking anything from me, and then I would have to go in and have my son actually fill something out. It sounds to me like what this is that student loans are just, the first $10,000 just going to be wiped out. I may not have a choice. It doesn't make me any less of a hypocrite, I don't think, but my other choice is, do I voluntarily say, well, you know what, I'm not going to participate in this. I'm a libertarian guy. I can't stand our government. I don't want anything from them, and I want them to leave me alone. My choice, my alternative choice is to send them a check for $10,000, to stand on principle and say, I don't want your benefits. Here's my $10,000 to actually give this evil institution, which is the United States federal government, to send them more blood money. So I'm wrestling with this. Legitimately, I'm wrestling with it. I'm trying to figure out, and I've talked to people, and I think people tell me what I want to hear when I talk to them about it. You'd be stupid not to take it, is what they say, but they don't understand. I'm somebody who I think I stand on a lot of principle on this show. It's just the idea of standing on principle and sending it violates another principle of mine, which is to feed the beast. I am for the abolition of all individual income taxes across the board. None of the money that you earn, unless you consider yourself, if you want to be a sharecropper, be a sharecropper. But for the country, for the free citizens out there, if you don't want to give any of your money to the federal government, I mean, if you want to have a voluntary system, I'm all for that, anything voluntary. If you believe you're getting a civilized society out of this federal government, want to stroke them a check, feel free to do so. That is your choice. But for me to send money into this this evil institution that is our federal government is also a violation of everything that I hold dear. So I don't know exactly where I stand here, but my point is I'm I call myself a genius, but you always bet on government stupidity. Always bet on the government doing the wrong thing and the worst thing in the big picture. And it seems like it's going to turn out to be just an absolutely fantastic financial move for me. So to my son, I'll pop for the other $2,000. Looks like the government's taking care of the rest. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we dive into health-related topics in Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use, where I try to convince people that your health outcomes are in your own hands. Don't have to wait on a pharmaceutical company. You don't have to just accept your fate, thinking that, well, this is just how God made me. I'm defective. I'm depressed. I'm this. I'm that. It is largely nutritional-based problems that we are facing here in this country. I start every show by explaining to you, first off, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a vaccinologist, I'm not an immunologist, not a virologist, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a nothing, I'm not a therapist. I have no credentials to advise you on your health. I'm just trying to bring information so people can get out of this learned helplessness of just thinking that we're all just have these certain defects we have to accept. I'm telling you, it's in the food, and today is going to be a great show to talk exactly about that. We've got a guest with us today, and she reached out to me just because of the health show to tell me a little bit about her experience and something that I might want to pay some attention to, and that is food dyes in the food and how it affects children's behavior. So we've got with us Katie Morgan. Katie is local to Flora here and has joined me in the studio. We're going to take a look at food dyes and some other things that are in our food. We're poisoning our kids, people. And most people don't understand it. Katie, thanks so much for joining me.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, I was thrilled to when you emailed me. Number one, I think I've done 250 of these shows now. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a nothing. I'm fascinated by it. I'm like a health nerd. But I'm always kind of looking for things that impact a lot of people. It was some of the most broad topics that I think can actually help people. And I have a huge passion, almost an anger, for what I think we're doing to our children. I'll talk about GMOs and using glyphosate on our food and screwing up our kids' gut bacteria and all the psychotropic drugs we're putting our kids on. This is one of those that hits both things. It's things that's in our food that people don't understand. And what you brought to me, and what we'll talk about today, is how these bad things in our food are affecting kids. So I'm thrilled to death that you're joining me, that you emailed me about that. We're going to have a good hour. It's interesting, you know, when you stop and think, well, we got to sit there and talk for an hour about something. Is there any? I'm telling you, it's going to fly by. And I already know from my notes, we're not going to have enough time to get to everything. So we're going to talk about a resource that you have, too. You've been in this for a while, too. Real quickly, and then I'm going to play a news story, because I want to kind of frame this so that people understand that you were smart enough to identify this. You were curious enough, I'd say, to try to identify a problem that you saw in your household. And we'll talk about what you found. But you're not alone. I've got a news story that's going to talk a little bit about it. What did you approach me on? What particular ingredient was it that you found was having affecting one of your children?
It was Red 40, and, well, red dyes, any dyes, but mostly Red 40.
Yeah, and this is probably the best known. I've heard that mentioned before, and when you brought it up, I was thinking, yeah, I don't know if I've ever done anything on that before, but kind of in the natural health community, they talk a lot about these food dyes, so Red 40 is what you had some experience with. So I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of this clip. This is a local news story. You know, I don't even know what town this is. It doesn't really even matter. It's a local story. But this is out there. It's just not talked about enough, and people don't think about it when they're at the grocery stores. So here they go.
Well, most of us read food labels. I know I do. We look at the calories and the fat grams and the protein, but there is something else in food that parents especially need to look for.
We're talking about food dyes. The Center for Science and the Public Interest has been pushing for a ban on 8 artificial dyes, claiming that they can severely affect children's behavior.
Now, I want to bring up the point. This story I'm looking at now was in 2011, so about 11 years ago.
Right.
They've taken no action. Nothing's happened. So this is not a new news story. This has been around. This knowledge has been around for a while.
And just last month, the Food and Drug Administration took up this issue.
Of the 12 children on this preschool playground, three of them have problems with food dyes. Davis McFarlane is one of them.
I went to a birthday party and Davis went and picked out a cupcake, the one that had all the frosting with red and blue and yellow. And after we left the party, he was very hyper, very impulsive, and just really couldn't control his body. It was a behavior I'd never seen before.
It was behavior Robert Scaglione had seen before in his son, Sebastian.
We know it's not just our child. We see other children with it, and we talk to other people. You'll hear them randomly talking, and you're like, there's another kid with the same problem our kid has.
Artificial dyes are found in hundreds of foods, like chips, chocolate syrup, salad dressing, yogurt, cereal, and cold medicine. Just last month, an FDA panel investigated whether products with food dyes should have warning labels.
It was a hotly debated issue, a narrow vote, 8-6. The panel decided food packages don't need warning labels, that more evidence is needed. But the panel did agree with studies that show for certain children, hyperactivity and other behavioral problems are exacerbated by food dye, something our family discovered years ago.
3 years ago, I told you about my daughter Caroline, how red dye caused extreme changes in her behavior, uncontrollable crying and aggressiveness.
Are the cucumbers good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Put them down.
You want more cucumbers?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody loves cucumbers.
These days, there are no dyes in her diet.
All right, so the story goes on, but you can hear. So again, that's from 2011. What's interesting to me, a lot of this show, I talk about the corruption of the FDA and all these bodies that are supposedly, air quotes here in the studio, protecting us. A narrow vote, they decided, nah, we don't need to label these things. People have to understand there's a huge revolving door. People who work at the FDA go work for these big food companies, or people who work at the big food companies go and take posts in the FDA. This is why in the United States, and I think you and I will probably talk about this, other places in the world, they're hip to this stuff and they don't allow it in their food. Here in the United States, parents are completely unaware that we have things in our food supply, and particularly for our children, that are harming them. So with that, let's start talking a little bit about how you discovered this issue, or what you've done about it, just your story in general.
Yeah, so she's now 3.5. She had just turned a year old when I took her to the pediatrician for her one-year-old checkup. And I was telling her pediatrician then that we are having these fits every single night, that it is, I mean, uncontrollable meltdowns. Nothing makes her happy. Nothing helps. Nobody can help. So we started trying to, maybe it was a stomach issue. Maybe she was having some issues that she couldn't articulate. So we put her on some Maalox every day. I hoped that it was, I tried to make myself believe that it was helping. Well, 6 months later, it still was no better.
Yeah.
So she wanted to put her on Zantac or whatever the one, you have to have it compounded now. And I was like, that's an extra step. I don't know that it's helping, so I'm not going to fill it right now. So we didn't fill it. There was no change. So we were just dealing with it. And then I had a friend who was really just kind of sitting with me in a, you know, moment of, this is just not going, you know, in a moment of meltdown. And she was like, you know, we did the same thing and we ended up realizing that my child can't have artificial dyes. I was like, I'm willing to try anything. No way did I think that this was going to solve our problems.
Right. Well, you kind of would think, well, I mean, if that was a problem, my pediatrician would have told me all about it.
Right.
You know?
Right. And so we went on to start trying to eliminate the reds from the things that we knew, being gummies and medicines. And I like to tell the story that she had an ear infection, and she had high fever, and we were doing Motrin and Tylenol, rotating it every 4 hours. And I remember telling my mom, it's like the Motrin is making it worse, or the Motrin is helping, and the Tylenol is making it worse. Well, looking back now, I realized that the Tylenol had dye in it, and the Motrin just happened to be dye-free.
Yeah.
And so it's like it just made it worse. She was just screaming. And so
And this is so sad because, you know, what you're describing, I know a ton of parents have gone through this, and you're talking about these children who cannot vocalize what's happening to them. They can't say, my head hurts. They cannot self-diagnose, so you're just in the dark trying to figure it out.
Right. So she was 18 months old when we really started cutting out the obvious reds and being, you know, medicines, gummies, those sort of things. And she, I guess it was around December, I realized that we have made huge improvement.
Yeah.
And so let's dig a little deeper and start really looking at things that we need to, that we wouldn't expect it in.
Yeah.
Well, we started finding it in, I mean, it's in marshmallows, frostings. It's in, I mean, everything.
Yep.
So we really buckled down then and started eliminating it completely from everyone's diet.
Right.
And we had a new child that.
Yes.
It was like she was there, but she couldn't, it couldn't fully come out, her happiness.
Right.
She wanted to be. And we would see small glimpses of that. And then it would just be, I mean, we would be overran with just meltdown after meltdown after meltdown that
yeah.
we couldn't control, couldn't help.
And you know how many parents go through that? And because the medical establishment, there's some great doctors out there who understand these things. But they seem to be fairly far and few between. So parents deal with these things and they end up drugging their children. We're going to talk probably more about that later. But the idea is, you know, that these kids are just, you just had a bad kid. You know, there's just some wiring messed up. But we've got some other chemicals that we can put into these children that'll fix the whatever's wrong with your kid. And that's just not the case. We're giving these kids these things that are causing these problems. And instead of taking out the cause, we're adding to it, trying to treat it with another chemical. And this is just an absolute disaster. So you started seeing improvement with a child in about what kind of period of time? How long did it take?
Well, we saw a big difference just from when we started eliminating from things that we knew. The red Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I was doing sugar-free. I thought we were doing okay by giving her red, you know, sugar-free Kool-Aid.
Right.
Once we stopped those obvious things, we did see an improvement. But then once we really dug deeper, we saw an improvement. I mean, it was like night and day.
Yeah.
But within a week or so, we started noticing a difference. And then it really took off when we completely eliminated all of them.
Just think about that for a sec. All of these parents that that have these issues, and we're going to talk about some of the statistics on how many of these children are affected by these things. They were a week away, just 1 week, paying a little bit of attention to what they're putting in their body. And there's still other food out there. You don't have to starve your child. There's all kinds of alternatives, and we'll talk about that some today, too. They were a week away from changing their child's life, the whole family's life. I know how that is. I mean, my kids, I changed their diet when they were four, and I didn't really have any of the issues that you talk about, but boy, everybody got healthy and happy. We just never had meltdowns, any of that kind of stuff, no temper tantrums, no misbehavior, none of that stuff, and I think nutrition played a part in that. But, you know, just to think that parents go through that for years and years and years, and the devastation, that even to a marriage, I mean, that is hard to even have a good marriage when you're constantly having to pay attention to this child that is unbeknownst to us crying out because we're poisoning them.
Right. And that is something, you know, you said that you just saw them be happier. Well, that's even my oldest, who's not sensitive like her. Like my youngest, when he started being dye-free, just because I'm not buying two separate snacks and I'm not going
to
poison him.
Right.
His behavior got better and we didn't even know that there were issues there.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's a sliding degree. But these kinds of things, you know, and we're going to talk a lot today about children, because I think, particularly in your situation, I'm so thrilled with you because you took the time to keep investigating. I'm telling you, a lot of parents are helpless, and that's why we medicate our children so much. They just don't understand. They look to their doctor as this expert. And unfortunately, and God love some of the great doctors out there, doctors are not experts in this stuff. They're just not. They don't study nutrition. They don't study red 40. They don't study food dyes. They look at a symptom and they have a pill that a pharmaceutical representative told them will help with help with that symptom. So they just start stacking these things on top of each other instead of eliminating things. You were curious enough to try anything. And I like that because you weren't some, I mean, it's almost like a conspiracy theorist to think that the food is hurting our kids. You know, you weren't looking for that kind of stuff. You just said, I'll try anything to try to help my child. And you found it.
Well, and that's like I said before, I did not believe that this could be it. And I certainly,
yeah,
but I was so ready. There was no way that I could keep going like we were.
Yeah, yeah.
We would have all been in the loony house.
Yeah, it's terrible. And my sympathy goes out to parents who are doing it. So hopefully this show today helps some parents take some action. And I want to talk about the fact, I mean, you did it. So there's a lot of parents who, you know, there's a lot of parents who are unwittingly poisoning their children. And I don't think that's really an exaggeration. I don't mean it like they're evil. They just don't know that they're poisoning their children. It's almost like you don't know your child's getting into the, you know, into the chemicals under the sink. I mean, your kids is getting poisoned. You don't know it. There's a lot of parents out there who kind of have a suspicion that maybe that crap that they're feeding their kids and the Lunchables and all this stuff that they get out of packages and boxes is probably isn't great for them, but they just, it's too big of a hassle to try to change it. It's not. I mean, you're the parent. If you don't want to harm your child, you got to make some tough choices.
And there's so many, a lot of times just being knowledgeable on it, you can pick something that's sitting right beside something
exactly.
else because it's better.
Yes.
You just don't know.
Right. Exactly. The alternatives are out there. I went through this. I mean, I raised my kids mostly on organic food, and I had to make that transition from, you know, Cheerios that were sprayed with glyphosate and you know, things that I was learning were bad for my kids. And like you said, a couple of shelves down, there was one that was organic that wasn't sprayed with that chemical. I just made the switch. They barely even noticed.
Right.
Yeah, so it's possible. All right, we got to take a break. We're talking to Katie Morgan here about food dyes, and some of these statistics are pretty stunning about how many children are affected with these. And we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, we're diagnosing our children with a lot of behavioral issues that are then medicated. And maybe that's a mistake. Maybe we should try eliminating some of these things from their diets first before just slapping them on some more pharmaceuticals. And we'll look at those statistics as well. This is the Mike Madison Show, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. We got Katie Morgan, excuse me, Katie Morgan in with us today. We're talking about these food dyes and some other things that are in our food that is affecting our children's behavior, and most parents don't even know it. They do not understand it. They think there's something wrong with their child as a biological human being, and then you're told that a pharmaceutical will fix that child and abate the symptoms. Get the stuff out of the food and see the improvements that way. At the very least, it should be your first choice. I wanted to read a little bit about some things, and we're going to let Katie go on with her story, and she just made a great point off air. I want to make sure we talk about it. It's not just foods. There's other things that your child might be exposed to, so if you take this stuff out of your food, there's other things to keep an eye on. This was a story. Food dyes linked to attention and activity problems in children. Quote, most consumers, this was the sub-headline, most consumers have no idea that something that is allowed in the food supply by the FDA could trigger these adverse behaviors. One clinical study found that removing artificial food dyes from the diet, along with a preservative called sodium benzoate, significantly reduced hyperactive symptoms. A small study found that 73% of children with ADHD showed a decrease in symptoms when artificial food dyes and preservatives were eliminated. 73%. Our kids are just riddled with these ADHD drugs, Ritalin, Adderall, all these things. These kids may have food sensitivities from and these are artificial food colorings too. These are chemical compounds based on petroleum products. Another study found that food dyes along with sodium benzoate increased hyperactivity in both 3-year-olds and a group of 8 and 9-year-olds. Tartrazine, also known as yellow 5, has been associated with behavioral changes, including irritability, restlessness, depression, and difficulty with sleeping. Oh, there's a pill for every one of those symptoms that they can give your child. Instead of just taking the tartrazine, yellow 5, out, they're going to give you a pill for the irritability, a pill for the restlessness, another pill for the depression, and then a pill to help them sleep.
Right, but guess what? Probably half of those have the dye in it.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah.
So when that wears off, as for kids, when that wears off, they go into a meltdown and they start screaming and they can't be controlled, then you just give them more.
Exactly. I was just about to say. So the doctor will say, well, it looks like we need to up the dosage.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. This is horrific. What's more, a 2004 analysis of 15 studies concluded that artificial food dyes do increase hyperactivity in children. Yet it appears that not all children react the same way to food dyes. Researchers at Southampton University found a genetic component that determines how food dyes affect a child. If only the medical establishment would sit down with the parent and go, hey, we need to take a look at a couple of things here and see if you need to be careful with food dyes. You were talking off air. Tell that story again. So you were being very effective. And you know, here's the thing, too. What you did was hard. You had to engage with teachers, with people in Sunday school, the adults that were responsible for sometimes feeding your child. You had to give them a heads up. Hey, we're avoiding this stuff. So it is a little bit of work. I mean, but to get your child back and your family back is certainly seems worth it. So tell us about some of your experiences where these things snuck in.
Well, and I do. I always have such anxiety about when she's not with me. She is getting to the, she's getting to the point. She actually has been at the point of knowing. She may not know why, but she knows that she doesn't need that.
Right.
But she, I was telling you off air that over the summer, we still have accidents. There are times that she gets something that she's not supposed to have. Well, she got into, someone had given her play makeup for her birthday, I think. She got into it. And that's what's hard as a parent, because I have to take most of that from her because she can't use it because she's three. It's going to go straight in her mouth.
Right.
She doesn't know any better. And if you're putting lipstick on, a three-year-old's going to lick their lips. Well, then it's in your mouth. So she ended up, I had taken most of it, but she ended up with one tube of lip gloss that she had, I guess, hidden. She was at Bible school that week, and so she was, I had put her down for her nap because it was the night of her program at Bible school. Put her down for her nap. She wasn't going to sleep. She was in there playing. I'd gotten on to her for that. Well, at the program, she refused. She was, I mean, just a wreck. She clung on to my mom, would not go up there, screamed. If anyone even looked at her the wrong way, it set her off. And I was thinking, what have we done? What have we gotten? This is a die reaction.
Yeah.
And when we got home that night, I was putting her in the bed, and I saw small remnants of this lip gloss. And I said, Ivy, did you use this? Yes, ma'am. I said, when did you use this? When I was taking a nap. I said, when you were supposed to be taking a nap. And so then I realized that that's what she had eaten, the whole tube, I guess.
Yeah.
Putting it on her lips and just licking it off. And so then we were on 2 weeks of her just being.
And it lasts that long.
We have noticed that it lasts up to 2 weeks when she has had, when she's been exposed to it.
Wow. Well, that certainly keeps you vigilant on that stuff when
we,
you know.
We do see an improvement after a week, but then, I mean, it's still, we'll see pieces of it after, you know,
yeah,
a little after that.
But what's great about what you've done and what this kind of information does is you know how to fix it. You know, I mean, there are parents right now that you and I know that are just pulling their hair out because they have just got this child that won't sleep, that won't act right, that talks back, that is completely hyper all the time. They just can't get them to settle down. They're just wearing on their children's nerves. They're getting in trouble at school. They can't sit still. They're, you know, all of these things. And they don't have even a 2 week horizon. They just think, oh my gosh, I have got this child. What am I going to do with this child? And that goes on for years and years and years. You know, I when I got my kids onto organic food and then I sent them off to college, you know, I fed them really good food when they were growing up. But I knew I was sending them to college, and I told them, I said, I know what you're going to do when you go to college. You're going to do what I did. And you're going to eat garbage a lot of the time that's cheap and all that. I said, but you've got the information. If you start feeling bad, if you start feeling grumpy, if you start being depressed, if you start getting sick, you know how to fix it, you know? And that's what's so important.
Well, and with that, I had started sending her to a Mom's Morning Out program. Well, they didn't read the allergy list. I listed as an allergy.
Yeah.
Even though it's not medically
right,
an allergy. But they apparently didn't read that, and they were giving her popsicles. Well, I didn't know that. They weren't giving me a piece of paper of what she ate that day.
Right.
Well, so I'm going through everything in our cabinets because I've noticed that we are having it. She's getting it from somewhere. I just got to find where. And so finally, I asked the school. I was like, look, we're having reactions. Like, she was like, oh, well, I've been giving her popsicles, like the long tube pop.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and Ivy had started crying on her way there, who she normally ran in. She loved it. Well, she started crying on the way before I figured out. This was a two or three week period where she was only going 2 days a week. And so that she was just, she couldn't control it. Well, so once I figured out that she was getting the popsicles, well, no. So she was crying on her way to school, saying, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. I don't feel good. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Well, looking back after I realized that she had had the popsicles, it was physically making her feel bad.
Right. Yeah.
And so once we quit that again, she was back to.
And, you know, what's amazing to me is if this information was to get out there to every educator, to every principal, to every daycare worker, can you imagine how much simpler their lives probably are? Because in that news story, they talked about, 12 kids on the playground and three of them had a problem with these food dyes. That's 25% of the kids. If these people who are in care of our children, not just the parents who have to deal with the kids 24 hours a day, but the educators, the daycare workers, all these people, if they understood this and altered what they gave the children for snacks and things like that and got this stuff out of there, they'd have a much calmer population of children to deal with. A lot of these behavioral issues they're seeing would go away while the kids are on their watch.
Right.
Everybody needs to know this stuff.
And it's right there. You just got to know what to get. That's just like the whole popsicle thing. There are plenty of other popsicle, the brand themselves. Most of theirs are now dye-free.
Yeah.
Now, there's probably other things in there that they don't need. But as far as artificial dyes go, they're dye-free.
Right.
I don't know how they do it because they are still bright as they can be. But
well, there's all kinds of things people can use, like beet juice. I mean, in the natural community, you know, natural health community, they've been dyeing foods for forever. These chemical dyes are new. They are within the last 30 to 50 years of these synthetic ingredients in our food. This is why I say on the show often, we've been experimenting on our children for a couple of generations now, and it's not going well. People have always colored food, but they've done it with natural things. Now they use petroleum-based synthetic food dyes, and this is causing a problem.
Right. And you say that, and yesterday I spent all day figuring out how they're talking about colors at school this week and next week. Well, her teacher wants to show that you can mix blue and red to get purple, and she wants them to ice a cookie. Well, A, we can't use regular icing.
Yeah.
B, we definitely can't when you put artificial colors in it. So I spent all day yesterday trying to figure out how I can get with natural food colors. Hers is much lighter, but we did get purple.
Right.
But it's a very pale purple, but there are ways to do it. And that's gets me to the point of, I read that I think it is 800% more food dyes than, or artificial dyes than when my parents were growing
absolutely.
Up.
The food is different now. It is different and has been in many different ways. I could go back. We don't have time to go into the chemical history of everything, but it's particularly since the 1990s, a whole lot of stuff changed in our kids' foods. And this is when you saw the rise of, I hate to say it, school shooters, ADHD, a lot of these problems. We didn't have these when I was a kid. I'm significantly older than you, unfortunately. We didn't have these when I was a kid. Now this is prevalent. Every teacher is dealing with this, and it could be as simple as looking at the food that we're feeding our kids. When we come back, I wanted to talk about some of the products, some of the most common products that people are giving them that these things are in. This information is all over the web. If you want to start doing your research, this is really not – it takes time. You've done a ton of homework, and I know it's still evolving. But the information is out there. That's the beautiful thing is just you can find it, and we'll talk about how to find that when we come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm here with Katie Morgan, who took food dyes out of her child's diet and has seen profound differences. This is a problem for kids, and we're talking about this. The beautiful thing is there are alternatives. The bad thing is that these things are hiding in all kinds of different products, not just the food they're ingesting. Katie, you know some of the ways that this can sneak in. And this is important because parents have to understand that if they go through the hard work of taking it out of the food and they don't see an improvement, they may give up instead of going that extra mile and saying, maybe it's still getting in there and not trying a little bit harder. So what are some of the other things that people are getting these food dyes in?
Well, you find it in things that you don't think about would be, like we talked about earlier, the lip glosses, the nail polish. That I know a lot of people are taking it from as far as paints and skin reactions.
Right, going into skin.
Bubble baths, toothpaste.
Yep.
And she's a three-year-old girly girl.
Right.
So nail polishes and that sort of thing can also disrupt. She's not as sensitive to skin, but just like bubble bath, she's going to blow bubbles in the bathtub. Well, then she's swallowing it.
Right.
So.
What were the, you were also mentioning, like Popeye's chicken?
So I have created a little graphic that has things that you wouldn't expect, you wouldn't think that it would be in. Popeye's has red that they what is under the fried, and you see a little bit of red,
yeah.
And that's
yeah.
it's in there. You see it. Chocolate pudding would be green if they didn't put red in it.
Wow.
And that just makes you want to not eat it to start with, no matter what.
I'm telling you.
But things like I have on my thing, my graphic, beef bouillon cubes.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have necessarily thought that.
Now, is this on all of these labels, is Red 40 on there? Like, there's not a label on Popeye's chicken, but if you look at the Weiler's or whoever it is, the bouillon tabs, will it have that ingredient listed on there?
It does. And that is one thing. When I first started this, I was afraid that I wouldn't know what I was looking for. I'd have to learn these words that I can't even pronounce, and there's no way that I would never. But what I have found is that it is always, it's either Red 40, Red 1, Red Lake, Yellow 3, Blue 1.
Right.
And it clearly states it, that it is it's a color and a number.
Right. Okay. Some of these things here, just this is fantastic. This is on a website called blackdoctor.org. And I found this, and they've got a whole list. I don't have time to go through all of them, but Sunkissed Orange Soda, V8 Splash Strawberry Kiwi, High C Boppin' Berry, High C Fruit Punch. You know, I grew up on that, but I guarantee it didn't have all those chemicals in it back when I was drinking it. Minute Maid Orange Soda, a whole category of Schweppes drinks that are flavored. Here's a big one for people out there. Gatorade Fierce Grape, Gatorade Fierce Berry, Gatorade Frost Riptide Rush, Gatorade Fruit Punch, Gatorade Passion Fruit, Original Hawaiian Punch now, Country Time Pink Lemonade, Crystal Lights here, Kool-Aids, all of these things. And these, I mean, it's like I'm reading off the list of what people give their kids.
Right. And going off the Gatorade thing, I have only found one Gatorade. It's the white cherry one that doesn't have it in there.
Yeah.
Some sort of any color.
Right.
And drinks is one thing that we do struggle with because everything has it.
Yeah.
And we do, she'll do Capri Suns, but a lot of times there's just, and then like at birthday parties
and
school, you know, they just do those little pouches.
Yeah.
And we can't have them.
You need to get your child to embrace water and tea and stuff. I mean, that's almost just about all I ever drink. But I know as a child, you want that fruity taste. And, you know, another thing is, too, I want to do a show on how to raise a super baby because I think it's possible. You know, just avoiding some of this stuff and resetting when you've got a young child, the less sweet you give them then. My kids are 21 years old. I don't think they've ever had a whole soda. They don't like it. I didn't give it to them when they were children. And now they've gotten older and they say they don't like it. Makes their mouth burn. They're just not used to it, you know. And the further you can push out the really, really, really sweet stuff on your kids, their taste buds just don't crave it. The earlier, it's almost like drugs. The earlier you give them big, huge sugar rushes, and my kids still had birthday cake if they went to a party or whatever. I wasn't, you know, crazy about it. But I just didn't, you know, you can kind of reset your child's taste buds so they don't demand these things. It makes it much easier for parents if you, you know, the earlier you kind of steer away from those things, the less problems you'll have down the road.
Right. Well, and going off of the birthday thing, that's one thing I know people who don't know our story, I take cupcakes. I get cupcakes from Whole Foods, and I usually put them in the freezer, or I'll go get one if I don't have one, but I'll just pull them out when we're going to a birthday party, so that way she can still participate.
Right.
And there have been times that I have forgotten our cupcake, and she's my sweet loving child. She loves her sweet. She loves her. She calls it a happy cake.
Everybody does.
But I'll look at her and say, Ivy, I'm sorry, Mama forgot it. I'll get you something when we leave. Yeah. I'll get you something special when we leave. And I do, and she's fine. She goes on, I can't have that.
That is the thing. Look, it's not like I didn't face any resistance with my children when I started changing their diet. I got some pushback, but I knew inside my brain, I'm doing something to help my child. That's what parenting is about making those decisions. We don't let our child play with the oven for a reason. But the knobs are cool and fun. But we stop them. We take time out of our day to explain to you, don't use the oven. Get away. And if they don't listen, we get really angry with them because it's protecting them.
Right.
When it comes to food, parents are not protecting their children. They're actually poisoning them, and they just don't know it.
Right. Well, and that's just her being able to say, okay, I understand, shows that she does know that it makes her feel bad.
Yeah.
And so she knows that she can't control herself, and she knows that it makes life hard if she were to do that.
And the only reason she knows that is because you took the time to figure it out and then take some action, and now you're teaching her that. Most kids have no idea why they're cranky. Parents don't know why they're cranky, why they're acting out. They just go through their life like that, just disrupting all kinds of activities. We got to take one more break. We're going to come back. You have put together a resource that I want to tell people about. I've got a bunch of notes in my show notes today that parents can look at the source material for stuff that I have for the show, because we're not going to have time to get to it all. We're talking to Katie Morgan. She's talking to us particularly about Red 40 and these food dyes. I've got stuff in my notes about a whole bunch of other stuff in the food that is causing things, symptoms of ADHD and these kinds of things. Don't medicate your child. Try an elimination of some of this crap. Be right back. From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, final segment for today's show. We're here with Katie Morgan. We've been talking about food dyes. I've got a whole list of other stuff, of things that's in the food that parents need to be aware of. It could be causing behavioral issues, emotional issues, learning issues. You want your child to succeed. You want to give them the best chance that they've got for a happy, well-adjusted peace in the family. You need to start paying attention to the food. We're not going to have time to get through everything that I've got, but you can always email me for my show notes. It's MikeMadison@WYEB.com. I'll send you all of my links that I've got. I've got one story here. 50 jaw-droppingly toxic food ingredients. All right, Katie, we're going to try to get this in. Tell us about your Facebook real quick. We got like 20 seconds.
So I have a Facebook group. It's called Ditching the Dyes. And I really just kind of I was sharing it on my personal page, and just to kind of keep it all together.
Yeah.
I started a page just for friends, whoever.
Yeah.
But
okay. Ditching the dyes. All right. We are slap out of time. Hard break at the end. But you and I were talking during the storm alarm. We're going to have you back maybe next week. So, Katie Morgan, thanks so much for coming in. To everybody else, I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.